The ladies and gentlemen, a moral standard. The ladies and gentlemen, those essential pillars of humanity who live by internal law rather than external coercion, stand as living reminders of a standard no tyrant, fraud, or manipulator can match. They are not merely pleasant social conventions, but vital components without which our culture weakens, our institutions fail, our own humanity diminishes. Their decline is not an accident of modern life. It was, in many cases, a tactical removal. 1. Authoritarian power and religious control. Totalitarian regimes of all kinds, whether fascist, communist, or theocratic, loathe the ladies and gentlemen. A true gentleman refuses to salute when the command is immoral. A true lady will not endorse cruelty, no matter how dressed in ideology. But this resistance was not limited to governments. Religious institutions, particularly those clinging to ancient hierarchies, also saw ladies and gentlemen as a threat. Why? Because a person who lives ethically without fear of divine punishment, who treats others with fairness and compassion without appeal to scripture, undermines the central authority of religion. The gentleman and the lady have always been threats to authority that depends on obedience over understanding. They are tolerant, but hostile to coercion in the name of faith. They are not enemies of tradition, but they are enemies of blind dogma, of manipulation wrapped in the language of holiness. Historical and modern offenses the ladies and gentlemen would confront. The accumulation of wealth by churches. Ladies and gentlemen would never tolerate cathedrals of gold built on the pennies of the starving. They would ask, how can a church speak of humility while hoarding land, jewels, and political power? Suppression of scientific inquiry. Religious institutions have historically silenced truth to preserve authority. Galileo, Giordano Bruno, burned manuscripts, forbidden research. These are not accidents. The gentleman would defend the right to question. The lady would insist that no book, not even the oldest, can silence the discovery of truth. Discouragement of literacy and independent thought. In many ages, the reading of all books was a sin. A thinking population is hard to control. The gentleman would ensure a library stood beside every chapel. The lady would encourage everyone to read science, history, and poetry. They would never allow curiosity to be punished. The ladies and gentlemen would reject these foundations of religious manipulation. The God of the Gaps fallacy. Whenever we did not understand thunder, disease, or death, we once claimed God did it. But as knowledge grew, those gaps shrank, and so did this kind of God. Ladies and gentlemen would demand, fill gaps with knowledge, not fear. They would not tolerate morality based on ignorance. The argument from absence of evidence. You can't prove God does not exist. It's not a reason to believe. It's a refusal to think. Ladies and gentlemen would understand belief without evidence is not virtue, it is vulnerability. Truth must be pursued with courage, not clung to in desperation. The ladies and gentlemen's answer, education, not indoctrination. The gentleman and the lady would work to liberate minds, not capture them. They would champion scientific literacy, the right to question authority, and the beauty of a child discovering atoms, stars, and moral philosophy all on their own. They would insist that all people deserve access to truth. The gentleman would refuse to kneel where there is no truth. The lady would refuse to obey where there is no justice. Together they would work quietly through the temples of power, holding a lantern, not a torch, and lighting minds instead of burning books. An ethical scientist and corrupted medicine. The myth of the noble scientist persists, but truth demands better discernment. The scientific method, in the wrong hands, becomes a weapon, and in the absence of ladies and gentlemen, those who would demand rigor, honesty, and humility, corruption flourishes. Consider. Leaded gasoline, promoted for decades despite evidence of its neurotoxicity, permitted because profits came before public health. Facilitated communication. A debunked technique that gave families false hope and led to false accusations and psychological trauma. False peer review rings, where authors reviewed their own work under fake names to flood journals with bad science. The publisher parish culture, where quantity eclipses quality, and honest inquiry becomes a race for survival. The persistent myths about vaccines causing autisms, long disproven, yet still weaponized by those who value fame or fear over fact. Even the market teems with deception. Homeopathy, a pseudoscience so absurd it dilutes substances until nothing remains, yet it still siphons billions from the uneducated and vulnerable. Unpasteurized milk, peddled as pure, while ignoring the bacterial dangers that we conquered through generations of hard-earned knowledge. And the legion of quack healers selling magnet bracelets, detox teas, and energy alignment, while real physicians struggle for trust. These are not small errors. These are crimes against truth. And where were the ladies and gentlemen? Silenced, mocked, or simply absent because they were made unwelcome in systems where conformity, not conscience, conformity is the coin of success. Consumer capitalism and the culture of appetite. The ladies and gentlemen were not enemies of business, they were its conscience. They did not oppose wealth, but how it was made, what it was used for, and whom it served. They did not romanticize poverty, but they refused to profit from ignorance, sickness, or addiction. In their absence, capitalism, unmoored from character and authenticity and dignity and human nobility, became something far darker. A system not for cultivating human flourishing, but for feeding appetites and monetizing suffering. The gentleman CEO would never sell cigarettes. A known carcinogen designed to addict, advertised to the young, and defended with lies for decades. A product that kills 1 in 2 of its long-term users. The gentleman would walk away from the boardroom, not help write the marketing plan. Market alcohol as recreation. Alcohol is classified as a Group 1 carcinogen alongside asbestos and plutonium. It fuels domestic abuse, depression, accidents, and liver failure. Yet, it's sold like soda. Even mouthwash once contained alcohol, marketed as refreshing, when in truth, it was absorbed through the gums, harming cells, and increasing oral cancer risk. Note, many people do not know this. The gentleman would remove it from every product meant for health. The lady would warn others without fear of being unpopular. Legalize recreational drugs in the name of freedom. True ladies and gentlemen would recognize this for what it is. A trap disguised as tolerant. Drugs do not liberate. They sedate. They lock people in mental fog, in dependency, in denial. They freeze an education in place, blocking growth by dulling pain rather than resolving its cause. A gentleman does not offer escape. He offers strength. A lady does not sell numbness. She fosters resilience. The culture of appetite. Engineered decline. In place of aspiration, we were sold indulgence. In place of community, we were given convenience. Where once people asked, "Is this good for me?" we were taught to ask, "Does this feel good right now?" The result, a population easier to rule, easier to sell to, easier to exploit, but much harder to awaken. Advertising became the new pulpit, preaching self-gratification as salvation. Corporations no longer just sold products, they sold identity, engineered insecurity, and rewarded impulsivity. The young were told their purpose was consumption. The poor were fed addictions. The sick were blamed for not trying harder. In such a world, the gentleman is a heretic, the lady a subversive, because they cannot be sold, because they stand for things the market cannot own. What ladies and gentlemen would do instead? The gentleman's CEO would build products that serve people, not enslave them. He would close his doors before profiting of poison. He would raise wages before raising stock prices. He would use influence to educate, not manipulate. The lady would call for transparency, consumer literacy, and cultural decency. She would champion food free of deceit, media free of degradation, and education that lifts, not flatters. She would speak plainly when others excuse, and shield the vulnerable when others pray. The ladies and gentlemen believe in enterprise with soul. They will not sell sickness. They will not sell amnesia. They will not profit off despair. Because human dignity is not a demographic. And no number of quarterly reports justifies the erosion of the human spirit. 4. Education in the hands of the gentleman and the lady. To the gentleman, education was not a mechanism. It was a sacred trust. To the lady, it was not a credential. It was an awakening. They did not educate to control minds. They educated to free them. They believed that every soul deserved access to the entire inheritance of human knowledge. Not filtered, not distorted, and not weaponized. A true education system built by ladies and gentlemen would have taught young people how to think, not what to think. It would have been personal, dignified, and rooted in reality, not rote. It would have respected the mind like a cathedral, never as a warehouse. The ladies and gentlemen's vision for education. Learning with purpose and integration. What is taught would be deeply useful, deeply true, and deeply human. Disciplines would be integrated together, science with art, math with meaning, creating wonder, not walls. Theory would follow experience. Abstractions would serve practical application. The gentleman would encourage each child to pursue their own questions, connecting knowledge to life. Student agency and development. Students would choose their projects, their interests, and methods. For if it is not their path, it is not their education. Learning would adapt to the student, not the student to the system. Recognizing different minds need different nourishment. Students would advance by understanding, not by birthday, acknowledging that people bloom in different seasons. Feedback would foster growth, not fear, guidance, not labeling. The learning environment. Teachers would be mentors, not jailers, building discipline through respect, not fear. Time would follow learning, not learning follow bells. A child's question would matter more than the schedule. Recognition would reward insight and courage of thought, not obedience and repetition. Testing would deepen reflection, not punish deviation. Standardized would be recognized as sorting, not education. And above all, the gentleman would teach so that one day he becomes unnecessary. The lady would educate not for performance, but for power, the internal kind. They would not raise test takers. They would raise free citizens, thinkers, builders, protectors, poets, engineers, rebels with discipline, and rulers with humility. 5. Social engineering. Through a slow and often well-meaning creep, policies, media, and education systems nudge people away from tradition and inward self-reflection. This social engineering operates not primarily through force, but through subtle manipulation of values, language, and incentives. The mechanisms of modern social engineering. Education without character development. Schools that teach skills but avoid moral education create technically competent but ethically crippled citizens. Curriculum that presents historical figures as mere products of their time rather than moral agents with choices removes the possibility of learning from their virtues and vices. When children are taught that morality is merely relative, they learn that nothing is worth defending at personal cost. Media that distorts human nature. Entertainment that portrays strength as domination rather than protection normalizes abuse of power. Stories that present cynicism as wisdom teach young people that idealism is naive. News that amplifies conflict while ignoring cooperation creates the illusion that human nature is fundamentally violent and selfish. Social media that rewards performative outrage over quiet reflection trains citizens to react rather than contemplate. Popular culture that undermines stability. Narratives that glorify betrayal as authenticity weaken the social fabric of trust. Content that depicts promiscuity without consequences erases the deep psychological reality of intimacy. Celebrity culture that celebrates ego over service teaches that fame, not contribution, is the measure of a life well lived. Art that mocks tradition without understanding. Its function leaves people disconnected from their cultural inheritance. Language manipulation and policy distortion. Redefining ancient concepts without considering their evolved purpose disrupts social ecology. Policies that frame vice as choice and addiction as recreation abandon the vulnerable to their impulses. Laws that privilege abstract rights over concrete responsibilities create procedural justice, one without moral substance. Technology without ethical boundaries. Algorithms that maximize engagement regardless of content quality create addiction masquerading as connection. Design that harvests attention without concern for human flourishing treats people as resources to be mined. Innovation that disrupts community structures without replacing their functions leaves people isolated and dependent on systems rather than relationships. Progress that measures success by efficiency rather than human dignity creates a world optimized for machines, not people. The gradual erosion of standards. This is not always a conspiracy, but often a consensus of convenience, where many actors pursuing their own interests, profit, power, popularity, collectively undermine the conditions needed for human excellence. The result is a society where convenience replaces commitment, tolerance substitutes for wisdom, self-expression overshadows self-discipline, rights outrank responsibilities. Progress is measured by what is permitted rather than what is cultivated. In their decency, the ladies and gentlemen would recognize that liberty without virtue becomes license, and that true freedom is not the absence of constraints, but the presence of the right ones, those we impose upon ourselves in service of higher values. They would insist that a society can survive external threats, but will collapse from internal decay when it no longer produces men and women who place honor above advantage and truth above comfort. 6. We ourselves, misled or numbed. Ladies and gentlemen disappear not only because of some dark cabal, but because many are tired or wounded. The enemy may whisper, but it's we who forget to resist the whisper. The modern conditions that erode character. The tyranny of overwork. When people labor without rest, reflection becomes impossible. The gentlemen of old had leisure, not for indulgence, but for contemplation. The lady had moments of quiet, not for idleness, but for insight. Today's hustle culture glorifies exhaustion, making virtue seem like an unaffordable luxury. Overwork is not just a personal burden, but a social control mechanism. The exhausted citizen lacks the energy to resist, to question, or to create alternatives. A society of the chronically tired becomes a society of the morally compromised, choosing convenience over principle, simply to survive another day. The epidemic of chronic stress. Stress narrows our moral vision. Under its influence, we think short-term, react rather than respond, and retreat to the primitive parts of the brain. Financial insecurity, social isolation, and constant digital stimulation keep cortisol levels perpetually high. When fight or flight becomes our standard operating mode, the higher virtues, patience, magnanimity, courage, temperance, become neurologically inaccessible. The ladies and gentlemen would recognize that stress management is not self-indulgence, but a moral necessity. The calm mind can act with integrity, where the panicked mind can only react. Material insecurity and its moral consequences. Poverty is not just a material condition, but a moral threat. The desperate cannot easily afford principle. The absence of basic economic security through mechanisms like universal basic income forces people to compromise values simply to feed their children. The lady would not expect dignity from those she has allowed to starve. The gentleman would not demand honor from those he has permitted to become desperate. True ladies and gentlemen would ensure that no person faces the choice between integrity and survival, recognizing that economic justice is the foundation upon which moral choice depends. They would not mistake material virtue, born of privilege, for moral virtue, born of character. The weaponization of information. We live in a fog of false information, not just lies, but half-truths, misleading statistics, and context-free facts. When reality itself seems negotiable, principled stands become impossible. One cannot defend truth if truth itself is in doubt. Social media algorithms reward emotional reaction over measured thought. Outrage over nuance. News becomes entertainment. Entertainment becomes propaganda. Propaganda becomes accepted wisdom. The ladies and gentlemen would insist on information literacy as a civic virtue, teaching not just what to think, but how to think. They would champion slow media, careful reading, and the courage to say, "I don't know yet," in a world demanding instant opinions. The anesthesia of comfort. Perhaps most insidious of all, we are numbed by unprecedented comfort. Air conditioning, endless entertainment, food delivery, and frictionless consumption remove the small discomforts that once built resilience. The ladies and gentlemen of old knew that character is forged through voluntary hardship, the willingness to endure what one could avoid. They understood that comfort, pursued as an end rather than accepted as a gift, becomes a prison of softness. The lady would embrace necessary discomfort for worthy ends. The gentleman would reject ease purchased at the price of growth. The path forward. These conditions, overwork, stress, poverty, misinformation, and excessive comfort, do not absolve us of responsibility. They explain our challenges, but do not determine our choices. The ladies and gentlemen would neither romanticize suffering nor surrender to systemic excuses. Instead, they would create spaces of stillness amid the noise, build communities of truth amid the deception, establish economic foundations that enable moral choice, practice the small disciplines that build resilience, distinguish between the hardships that strengthen and those that merely break. For the return of the ladies and gentlemen begins not with politics or policy, but with individuals who refuse the numbing comfort of conformity and the seductive ease of moral surrender. It starts with those who, despite every pressure to the contrary, choose to live as tough character still matters, because through their choice, it does. Why must the ladies and gentlemen return? Humanity stands at a crossroads. We have built marvels of technology, sprawling cities, and unprecedented wealth. Yet we find ourselves adrift in a sea of confusion, mediocrity, and moral cowardice. Our progress is hollow without the guiding light of those who embody what is best in us. The ladies and gentlemen are not merely pleasant social conventions or artifacts of a bygone era. They are essential guardians of what makes us truly human. Without their example, we mistake freedom for license, rights for entitlement, and consumption for fulfillment. No technological innovation, no economic system, no political reform can replace what they represent. The living proof that human beings can rise above their baser instincts and choose what is right over what is expedient, what is true over what is comfortable, what serves others over what gratifies self. The lady cannot be bribed by popularity or seduced by hollow praise. The gentleman cannot be intimidated by power or corrupted by advantage. Together, they remind us that humanity's greatness lies not in what we can take, but in what we can freely give, not in what we demand, but in what we willingly sacrifice for higher purpose. The forces that drove them to the margins are still with us, now more subtle, more algorithmic, more persuasive. But so as long as even one person chooses integrity when dishonesty would be easier, courage when cowardice would be safer, or truth when lies would be more profitable, the spirit of the ladies and gentlemen lives on. Our future depends not on our technology, but on our character. Our hope lies not in systems, but in souls who choose to be more than mere consumers, more than passive spectators, more than clever animals pursuing comfort and status. The world needs the return of the ladies and gentlemen, not as an antiquated social class, but as a living moral standard. For they are the ones who can lead us beyond the empty promises of endless growth and mindless consumption toward a society worthy of our full humanity. Every time we choose principle over advantage, service over status, or dignity over domination, we take one step toward becoming the ladies and gentlemen our world so desperately needs. Let us ensure their return, for without them, humanity cannot truly progress.